Blog Talk Radio.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
Bob.
an A hum to the bop.
Righteousness from imputation. Now there's no condemnation for his consecrated. Amen. I know
and then transform them into sentinels of Christ. Who else can take these random goons and then breathe life into abandoned tombs? Yeah. Christ came to die, his price claimed the sky, his grace will save, plus his might sanctifies. As his workmanship, my crew cares to please him. Dude, there's a reason, it's fruit-bearing season. Okay. We received the win, he gave his life for this. We've been freed from sin, we're slaves of righteousness. Praise God if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification.
Through faith, everything that happens to Christ happened to me. I'm happy to see his majesty adapting me gradually. I'm fabric keys, weaving me into his kingdom tapestry. Imagine me spitting systematic theology practically. I'm asking the question that impacted me on a major level. How can a holy, righteous God save a rebel? The mystery is priceless. His decree is like this. Through Christ, he makes the wicked positionally righteous. No longer targets of his curses. He takes deceivers, makes them believers, and then sets them apart for his service.
Amen.
Not only just the reverence, we need to notice, brethren, the road that gets to heaven goes through Romans 6:11. Acknowledging as true what's already occurred. Christ died to send me to the Lord said in his word.
Right.
In Jesus we rest. We've been freed from the mess. By the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. I know my place. That's why I write my name in lowercase. The more I grow in his grace, the more he shows me his face.
Yes.
I thank him and praise him through his work, and I get to have this. My sanctification is more certain than death and taxes.
Yes.
Praise God if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle.
Yes.
Praise the Lord if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God if you're a saint that is saved, then we're being changed by his sanctification.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
That was Shylin and also Timothy Brindle singing the song. That one is called, let's see, where is it? Sorry about that. But we will play another one by Shylin. And this one, I'll tell you now. Sorry, I can't find that one's name. Let's see. We will play. Oh, that was Sanctification. Sorry. And next, we will play a song that is called. Let's see. This one is called Jesus is Alive. On Tributory.
Elvis is dead, Picasso is dead,
yeah.
Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin are dead,
yeah.
Marilyn Monroe is dead, however,
Jesus is alive,
yeah. Brando is dead, James Brown is dead,
yeah.
Princess Di and John Lennon are dead,
yeah.
Biggie Smalls and Pac are dead, however,
Jesus is alive.
Give praise to King Jesus, the blessed Son, victorious, glorious, resurrected one. To him belongs the power, glory, and honor. Ascended where he sits at the right hand of the Father. At the cross he made atonement, his people he saved. After 3 days he was raised and defeated the grave. By faith the elect behold him, his scepter is golden. He must have been hot and slippery cause death couldn't hold him. The spotlight is on today's icons. In 1,000 years nobody will care, their light's gone. But at that time Christ will still shine bright. He's not in the limelight. Light, he is the limelight. Criminal minded, you've been blinded. Looking for the body of Jesus, you won't find it. We never lack spirit, letting you cast hear it, cause it's soon as empty like most secular rap lyrics. Plato is dead, Socrates is dead,
yeah.
Aristotle and Immanuel Kant are dead,
yeah.
Nietzsche and Darwin are dead, however,
Jesus is alive,
yeah. Buddha is dead, Muhammad is dead,
yeah.
Gandhi and Haile Selassie are dead,
yeah.
Elijah Muhammad is dead, however,
Jesus is alive,
yeah. Throughout history, there's been mad religious leaders, prophets, preachers, scholars, teachers. But when it came to the grave, no one could climb out. That's where Jesus stands alone, like taking a time out. And don't be misled, I got a level head. No resurrection, Christianity would have never spread. The disciples weren't stupid guys who would ruin their lives and then choose to die for what they knew was a lie. That would be beyond ridiculous. Not an issue is the risen Christ seen by 500 eyewitnesses. Imagine 500 people in a court of law, each of them taking a stand, reporting what they saw. If their stories lined up and made sense, the evidence would have to leave you convinced, no doubt. But still it's by faith that we trust and praise the Son who was raised for our justification. Check it out.
Nero is dead, Constantine is dead, Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun are dead, Alexander the Great is dead, however,
Jesus is alive.
Napoleon is dead, Lao Tzu is dead, Che Guevara and Henry the Eighth are dead, Saddam Hussein is dead, however,
Jesus is alive.
Through faith in Christ, we've been saved from hell. Because he's risen, it means we'll be raised as well. In glorified bodies fit for the new earth. For now, we participate in the new birth. The universal reality of the true church. With resurrection power, watch the Spirit do work. United with Christ, we reside in his light. Abide in his might, keeping stride as we fight. The pride in our life, the lies and the spite. We strive to be wise as he guides. Through the night, he'll chide and he'll slice. Recognize that he's right, his brightness inside lights our eyes, and it's tight, decided to die to wash white all our strife. His life was the price to the light in his wife. He told death strike just to rise like a kite. All eyes on the Christ, let's prize him tonight.
Pharaoh is dead, Cyrus is dead, Darius and Sennacherib are dead, Nebuchadnezzar is dead, however,
Jesus is alive.
Caesar is dead, Herod is dead, Annas, Caiaphas, and Judas are dead, Pontius Pilate is dead, however,
Jesus is alive.
He's alive, y'all. He's alive, y'all.
What?
He's alive, y'all. He's alive, y'all. All praise to the risen one, the Lord Jesus.
What?
Heaven and nature sing.
that was Go Fish singing Joy to the World. And now we're going to do another one by Go Fish. This one's called Love Like This on Truth Be Told Radio.
Death, and I know what's true.
Oh yeah.
What about Zechariah 12:10? What about Psalm 22? What about Isaiah 53? Oh, Rabbi, please don't tell me that's not true. I've seen it, I felt it, I know it. What you gonna do?
I'm just trying to be true to you.
John, and I said, wait, so Jewish, how could I have been so wrong? Could it be true that there's a part two for every you do? You know what I'm talking about. Oh my God, I can't keep rapping about this. You gotta open up that book. I said you gotta open up that book. And if they try to tell you don't open up that book, that means open up that book. Yeah. And I shall pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of favor and prayers. And they shall look on me whom they pierced, And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. And they shall be in bitterness over him as a bitterness over the firstborn. Zechariah 12:10.
Oh,
this is Old Testament, Old Covenant.
Yeah, come on.
Do you feel me? I was never taught about this in yeshiva school. But now I found out.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
Whoa.
To read the book, yeah. All of it, not just part of it, and the part they're going to tell you is not it. See, like, you know, Jews for Judaism, they like to tell you, no, 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 that means something else. They are full of, you know what I'm talking about, okay? So, I'm just trying to stay true Jew here, and, yeah, all I can say is,
open up that book, yeah, I came out, I saw it.
Here in Luke 10:16, he who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me.
Whoa.
Figure it out,
yeah. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah, I had no idea about this either, yo. Believe me, I had to suffer just to keep with the truth, but it's okay, whatever. I give my life over to God. That's a big move. For real.
That was Aviel Cohen singing Hooked on Truth. And his website is called HookedOnTheTruth.com. HookedOnTheTruth.com. And we, like we said before, gonna, like I said, I'm going to debut a song. This song is Jason singing, and he's from the album, the record label, I mean, called Lamp Mode, L-A-M-P-M-O-D-E, and that name of their website, too, lampmode.com, and it's Jason featuring Surge and KB, and this song is new, and it's from Jason's new album called Burrow. And this one, like I said, the song is called Passing, so thanks for listening. And listen to Jason featuring Surge and KB singing Passing here on Truth Be Told Radio. This is debut for this song.
Yeah.
Like I'm quarterbacking,
you notice. Yeah, all I'm saying is just a vapor though. Fading slow so you can stack that paper, but can't take it though. No, it's all gonna fall like forming that Berlin Wall, right? So we preach to them all quite in the dark with them fog lights. Yeah, we shine see us listening to that guy crack and he clicking it. We all about the head beating it, and we walk it out, we be living it. Yeah, had to leave my old girl, she was my main squeeze. Call a cold, cold world, brain freeze. Now I'm guarding my zone like a 2-3. I'ma take you, put a 9 on my back. I'm like Drew Brees, I'm just passing. But I'm not quarterbacking. See, the word was a verb. I'm just following its actions. This life is not my own. Boy, we heard and we gone. We preach the message till the day. Call us home.
Cause I'm trying to shake this world. Give me some ice milk in a blender. Cause I'm passing, I'm dying. But before I head on out, I have to buy a calculator.
Wow.
Cause I want my life to count. So I can finish my mission. See, because I'm a Christian. God and the glorious gospel should be my only ambition. But sometimes I'm lowercase in different ways that I serve. So caps lock my heart till all it does is lift up your word. And I will take this gospel proclaiming to those who hate it, debate it. But some embrace it and accept propitiation. They believe, so see before we leave, I pray that we would be the ones to pass it on before we see forever. Jesus, strengthen me to labor and to constantly remember I got
one shot.
Called Passing, and that's from Jason's new album called Braille. And in case you don't know, Jason spelled J and then S-O-N. And you're seeing Me and Most Control on Tributario. That was a debut song. And next hour we will debut the next song that from Shannon. And this one will be from, it's called the Lyrical Theology, Part 1, this album. And the song is called Exalted, and it's from Psalm 110, I guess, based on that. And that'll be next hour, but thanks for listening to us now on Tributario Radio. and we will play a song, another one by Shannon, and this one is called Penelope Judd on Truth Be Told.
Good morning, boys and girls. Okay, I need you to settle down now. Guess what? I have a story for you. It's about a little girl. You ready? Once upon a time, in a distant land, far beyond the sea, where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person there was only 12 years old, because all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now, Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in the letter. He said,
Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's going to throw the prince a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog. He'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go.
It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said,
off we go with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king. We're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
Your turn. The dove told her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, okay, I'll be right back. Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way.
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove, just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad because part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, why would I want to stay? Because all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king. It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
I go with no delay, and ain't nobody going to make me stay. I'm going to see the king. I'm on my way.
Walking for a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide.
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
farewell, see you inside.
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said,
I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor.
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend.
A voice inside the party said,
you can let her in.
The next thing she knew,
knew that the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Would you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
long ago, laid aside my crown. Became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around. But those who love me get to share my crown.
Your turn.
Long ago, laid aside my crown. Became a mud kid, traveled to our town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around. But those who love me get to share
my crown. Okay.
The thing that is
amazing to us,
yeah,
is that you still continue to display your patience to us,
yeah,
through all our stumbles and falls and our idolatry, through all our grumbling and all of our hypocrisy, our self-righteousness with brothers and sisters, we're hostile, our unforgiveness, all because we're just missing the gospel. We should be slow to anger, but your word was slow to hear it. Oh Father, help us please, we truly need your Holy Spirit. He is the only person who can shape this fruit within us.
Yeah.
We praise the risen Savior who is able to present us,
Jesus,
without an ounce of blame,
yeah,
with zero doubt or shame.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, down you came from heaven to announce your reign in the hearts of your people. And now we have the truth,
yeah,
and gladly choose to praise you for all of your attributes. Who can record your graces,
ooh,
adored through scores of ages?
Yeah.
Your reward is the nations, for you are the Lord of patience.
Lord of patience.
Lord of patience.
Oh, sovereign God, you are the Lord of patience.
Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come.
The curse from my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death. And Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lusting, twisted and sensitive, selfish and helpless. And Adam all die, and Adam all die.
Yeah. Everybody knows that they're guilty. Our conscience condemns us, shows us we're filthy. Truth be told, we really have no answers for why we fall short of our own moral standards. The evidence for God is simply bountiful, and it's illogical to think we won't be held accountable. A universal day of judgment approaches. Any rational notion of justice will presuppose this. And deep down inside, everybody knows this, but we disregard it, cause our deeds are atrocious. We prefer the vicious, our words are malicious, our slurs pernicious. We find the absurd delicious, depraved in our appetites. The things we crave are lacking light, cause sin got us enslaved and shackled tight. And if we ought to understand the fruit, we need to go back and examine the root. Yo.
The curse from my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lusting, twisted and sensitive, selfish and helpless, and Adam all die, and Adam all die.
The world we live in wasn't always like this. The early days had perfect righteousness and bright bliss. Man and woman under God ruled government at first, bubbling with mirth, immersed in loving with no hurts. God gave what theologians call the covenant of works, forbidden fruit. The day you eat of it, you'll be cursed. Husband wasn't alert, wife lacked discernment, entrapped by the serpent, and that was the first sin. The consequences were monumental. In fact, I'm not convinced they had a clue of what they gotten into. Their eyes were open more, truth in the lies. To their surprise, they didn't get the prize they were hoping for. They see their nakedness and now regret it. They tried to cover their guilt and then blame ship. How pathetic. And it's a true story. You want some evidence? We've been doing the same thing ever since. Yo.
The curse from my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lusting, twisted and sensitive, selfish and helpless, and Adam all die, and Adam all die.
We talk, Adam and Eve, cats think we throw it off, really. They don't think it relates to thugs in North Philly, but it's like Switchfoot said, we were meant to live. But in the garden, Adam was our representative. So when the judge executed the sentence, Adam's guilt was imputed to his descendants. Global calamity, major debt, pain, regret, the reign of death, total depravity. Yes, I'm aware that cats were not there, which opens the door to charges of that's not fair. But God is not subject to fallen notions of fairness. Besides, when it comes to God's glory, most we care less. We can't measure how we taste sand treasures and band pleasures, similar to our ancestors. So instead of saying, if you were there, what you would do, seek your refuge in Adam number two. Number two, number two, number two, number two, number two.
Curse for my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the brain to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lusting, twisted and sin-sick, selfish and helpless, and Adam all die, and Adam all die.
The problem with the human race is not most deeply that everybody does various kinds of sins. Behind all of our depravity, behind all of our guilt, behind all of our personal sinning, there is this mysterious connection or union with Adam, our father, who sinned, and we being in him in some mysterious way also sinned and died and are condemned. What Christ has done for all who are in him is far greater than what Adam did for all who were in him. It's all about the superiority of the work of Christ for those who are in him over against what happened to all who were in Adam.
Once again, that was a song by Shylin, and that's in Adam All Die. You want to find out more about him, go to Lampmode, LAMPMODE. That's his record label. And what we're going to do now is, let's see if I got my file ready. I'm going to play something. This is from Paul, excuse me, at 17. Apologetics. It's a YouTube channel. Once again, it's Acts 17 Apologetics. And this is called Jihad Returns to London, a reply to Prime Minister David Cameron. And let's see if I got that ready for you. Okay, here it goes. And thanks for listening. True Victoria.
When a jihadist slaughters someone in broad daylight, citing the Quran and screaming Allahu Akbar, the point he's trying to make is usually pretty clear. And yet, after almost every terrorist attack in the West, the media and politicians and police announce, we're still searching for a motive. Anyone seen a motive lying around in all these strewn body parts? Earlier this week, after two jihadists butchered a British soldier named Lee Rigby on a London street while screaming Allahu Akbar, one of them wanted to make sure his motive couldn't be missed, not even by the media and politicians and police. So he stopped to clarify things for us.
Yeah. The only reason we have killed this man today is because Muslims are dying daily by British soldiers. And this British soldier is one.
So British soldiers are killing Muslims in Muslim lands. What does this have to do with killing Lee Rigby?
We are forced by the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, through many, many ayahs throughout the Quran, that we must fight them as they fight us, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
That was Michael Adebolajo, a convert to Islam and a former associate of Anjum Chowdhury. He's given us two reasons for killing Rigby. One, British soldiers are killing Muslims. And two, the Quran commands Muslims to fight those who fight them. Now, his first claim is obviously correct. British soldiers are fighting at least some people who believe in Islam. But not everyone agrees with his second claim that the Quran commands Muslims to fight those who fight them. Just ask world-renowned Quran scholar and Islamic theologian, Prime Minister David Cameron.
There is nothing in Islam that justifies this truly dreadful act.
Well, I can think of something in Islam that would justify the attack. It's called the Quran. In the clip we saw, Adib Alhaji refers specifically to Surah At-Tawbah, that's chapter 9 of the Quran, which is filled with commands to fight unbelievers. Surah 9, verse 29, fight those who do not believe in Allah. Surah 9, verse 73, O Prophet, strive hard against the unbelievers and the hypocrites and be unyielding to them. Surah 9, verse 111, surely Allah has bought of the believers their persons and their property for this, that they shall have the garden. They fight in Allah's way, so they slay and are slain. Believers, i.e. Muslims, fight in Allah's way, so they slay and are slain. What did Adib Alhaji do? He killed someone and then got shot by police. But I'm sure it had nothing to do with the Quran explicitly commanding him to kill and get killed in the very chapter he cited as his reason for killing and waiting around for police to show up and shoot him. I invite everyone to read chapter 9 of the Quran, the last major chapter that Muhammad delivered to his followers. It's basically one long call to jihad and one long condemnation of Muslims who refuse to fight unbelievers. Surah 9, verses 81 and 94 to 95 even say that Muslims who make excuses for refusing to fight the unbelievers will burn in hell, which is probably why Adib Alhaji said that the Quran forces him to kill.
We are fools by the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah. Fools by the Quran, fools by the Quran, fools by the Quran.
Prime Minister Cameron doesn't seem to understand any of this, but maybe Boris Johnson, the mayor of London, has a better grasp of jihad.
It is completely wrong to blame this killing on the religion of Islam. But it is also equally wrong to try to draw any link between this murder and British foreign policy or the actions of British forces who are risking their lives abroad for the sake of freedom.
According to Mayor Johnson, Rigby's execution had nothing to do with Islam and nothing to do with the British Army fighting Muslims. Apparently, Mayor Johnson hasn't read Surah 5, verse 33 of the Quran, which says, "The punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His Apostle and strive to make mischief in the land is only this, that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be imprisoned. This shall be as a disgrace for them in this world, and in the hereafter they shall have a grievous chastisement." What's the penalty for making mischief in a Muslim land? If it's something serious, the penalty is death. Who was Lee Rigby? He was a machine gunner in the British Army. He had a tour in Afghanistan, and more recently he was recruiting more soldiers to go to places like Afghanistan. By the way, bringing a non-Muslim military into a Muslim land to interfere in Muslim affairs is the most extreme form of mischief-making, according to Islam. The penalty is death. The Quran even tells Muslims how to kill in order to spread fear. In Surah 8, verse 12, Allah declares, "I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them." Strike off their heads and their fingertips. Don't just kill them, mutilate them. But Rigby's beheading and mutilation had nothing to do with Islam, right, Mayor Johnson? How could this be any simpler? There are only two ingredients in this recipe for terrorism. Take one cup of the Quran, add a tablespoon of mischief-making, stir together, and wait for the attack. So, Mayor Johnson, saying that the teachings of Islam and British soldiers fighting in Afghanistan have nothing to do with the massacre of Lee Rigby is like saying that flour and sugar had nothing to do with the biscuits you were probably munching on for your afternoon tea while Rigby was being slaughtered like an animal in the city that elected you mayor.
The fault lies wholly and exclusively in the warped and deluded mindset of the people who did it.
Yeah, you and Mr. Cameron are the authorities on deluded mindsets. Do you guys have any strategy at all for dealing with terrorism in the UK?
We will never give in to terror or terrorism in any of its forms.
You'll never give in to terror? You already have, Mr. Cameron. The moment you decided to protect an ideology that calls for the annihilation of your civilization and the violent subjugation of your citizens, you gave in to terror. Now, if you want to protect Muslims who had nothing to do with the attack, that's one thing. That is part of your job description, and I'd be happy to help you protect individuals who don't support jihad, Muslim or non-Muslim. But you're protecting an ideology, one that commands its adherents, whether they know it or not, to brutally murder people like Lee Rigby. Instead of using your position to promote open discussion of this ideology, you use it to tell millions of people that anyone who obeys the Quran's clear commands to kill has somehow betrayed the religion that ordered him to kill.
This was not just an attack on Britain and on the British way of life. It was also a betrayal of Islam, a betrayal of Islam, a betrayal of Islam, a betrayal of Islam.
There's definitely a betrayal here, Prime Minister Cameron. But it's not a betrayal of Islam.
Once again, that was from @17 Apologetics on YouTube, and that was Jihad Returns to London, if you want to check that out. And the full name was Jihad Returns to London, and it says they replied to Prime Minister David Cameron. And here's some me, Melissa Cantrola, on Truthy Paul Radio. And what we got next for you, we have play a song. This is a song called Fruit Inspection. And this one is by Timothy Brindle. And if you want to check this out on the website, check us out, truthbetoldradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Yo, it's so strange. So many folks claim they're born again when their lives are showing no change. Listen while I'm spitting. If you go about your sinning without conviction, you should doubt your Christian. The devil tricks people that they're saved when they're sleeping in their graves. Though the evil, they're a slave. So examine yourself. Are you in the faith or are you just a slave to sin's glamour and wealth? Cause you seek finer things and seem fond of sin. But please read 1 John 3:9-10. This is a warning, dog. It shows if you're a fraud and that this is impossible if you've been born of God. To live habitually sinful, at least hear it from Christ if you don't want to listen to Brindle. Please understand this. Jesus demands it. Those who really love him will keep his commandment. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven. It's a description of the Christian who is forgiven by trusting in the risen Christ who took our wrath and affliction. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven, but it's a description of the Christian who is forgiven. And the Spirit now convicts them to put off and kill their sick sin. I'ma make this as basic as can be. Let's say a saved saint is like a tree. Since their faith is in Christ, their roots in the soil, so they're saved for life and their fruit isn't spoiled. So it makes sense that if their root is alive, the dead branches fall off, but their fruit's gonna thrive. But if there's no evidence of a changed life, since you claim Christ, so you're still dead in sin. So Jesus is Lord, your lips confess, but killing sin is that confession slip with test.
If perhaps the truth is that you're lacking proof, with absent proof, the axe is at the root. So let's be specific. You say,
but God knows my heart.
Yeah, he knows that it's desperately wicked. So you can repent and accept the truth, dude. Or else when you meet Christ here,
I never knew you.
So let's start from the top. Your heart is a rock. You must trust Christ's death for your charges to drop. No, repent, pretenders, and present your members to him who then contenders like fender benders. I ain't saying that I'm flawless from sin. I'm saying when I fall, I go to the cross and repent. And just because we believe in eternal security, don't mean we're not concerned with personal purity. Because those who've been elected, chosen, and predestined won't rest till the day our souls have been perfected. So we'll work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but give God the glory, knowing it's his Spirit's rendering.
That was a song called Full Inspection, Sorry for the Delay. And thanks for listening. What we're going to do now is play a song. This is by Aviab Cohen, and this is Reach Out to You on Tricky Tory.
Everybody's got that day where they reach out to God,
yeah.
And they say, God,
what's up?
I want to know you this time for real.
That's right.
Just know, when you do this, he's going to throw in a lifesaver, Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah.
Yeah.
And then, his son will reach out to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Here we go.
When you're moving fast forward in a world of change, and you can't catch up, and you feel the same way I did, to reach out to you. If you lost your way, don't know where to turn, raise your hands in the air, ask for help the same way I did, to reach out to you. When your day turns into dark, and your smile turns into fear, that's when the sun to reach out to you. Birthday wish and it didn't come out as you planned, to reach out to you. Did you run the race and you finished last? Did you come first place but it felt like last? That's when to reach out to you. When your day turns into dark and your smile turns into fear, that's when the sun reach out to you. When you seem to fall off track, just know God has got your back, and then the sun will reach out to you. Have you lost your mind in a crazy world? Lost your faith in man and the promises of love, to reach out to you. Truth, yeah, with no disguise. Say, Yeshua, can you please step into my life? That's when to reach out to you.
Yo, yo, 'cause he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's the big shot caller. Do you feel me? He's the one who saved me, and yes, he'll save you too. His promise of salvation for every Gentile and Jew.
When your day turns into dark, and your smile turns into fear, that's when the sun will reach out to you.
Yeshua. Thank you, Yahweh, for Messiah. He is your groom, you are his bride. Now you can have eternal life.
Heart, and that is, of course, like I said before, another song. It's by Avia Cohen, and you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And what we're gonna do next for you is we're gonna debut the song that is by Shylin, and this song is from his album called Lyrical Theology Part 1. It's a new one, and the song is called Exalted, and it has in parentheses Psalm 110. So I am guessing that they are saying it's based on Psalm 110. And here it is for you, the debut of that here on Truth Be Told Radio. Sorry about that. I was looking at the wrong file. Okay, I found it now. And once again, Shylin, this is featuring Joint Heirs. And also, like I said before, it's a new song, and it's called Exalted, and then parentheses Psalm 110 on Tributary.
Lift them up, 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 lift them up,
lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, l
pleasure of the heaps of pleasure. See, wherever we think it's even better, Jesus, he's our priest forever.
Praise the Lord who's crucified. For our sins in our place he died. Raised on high to the Father's side. Coming back for his bride.
Now he's the
God.
The war's beginning here.
Yeah.
Its scores are in despair.
Yeah.
Its corpses everywhere. Yeah, it's morbid, but it's fair.
Yeah.
He'll drink from the brook and he'll look up just like he's Gideon soldiers.
Yeah.
It's time for the war. Catch back to the core. No pity from Jehovah.
Yeah.
The rule and the reign of the Babylonian city is over.
Yeah.
Christ will bring all of his enemies to a hideous closure. The text is warning you. The Lord is a warrior.
Yeah.
But for all who repent and believe, there's plenty more in store for you. Worshiping the Lord for all eternity, never exhausted. As we proclaim that Jesus Christ is forever exhausted.
Once again, that was a new song by Shinin, and that's called Exalted, and it is featuring joint airs with him. And if you want to hear it again, you could get his album called Lyrical Theology Part 1, and you hit that at lampmode.com, or at least find out about it. And also, well, you could probably get it on iTunes. And also, that we're going to do today is another one from Shylin, and this one is called Faithful God. Well, should be told already.
We can go.
thanks for your grace and your favor. Your faithfulness we tasted and savored. Your love and care for us is most clear to us when we're beholding the face of the Savior. The human race as a whole was infected, but for those you have chosen, elected. You made a promise and it was accomplished when the chief cornerstone was rejected. We see him dying on the cross for our evil, when he appeared to be soft and feeble. In actuality, he holds the galaxies in his hands, he's exalted and regal. When we believe, you are faithful to save us, and that means you'll be faithful to change us. And the Spirit of Jesus will keep us till you make us holy and blameless. From the things you say, you don't budge. You're faithful to save and you're faithful to judge. The God who was just became one of us. The faithful God is the God we can trust. We can't trust us, on you we rely. Everything we need, Lord, you will supply. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself.
Talk to him.
Eddie Long
false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3.
Many Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, and many more believed because of his words. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Yeah. We'll start right now. His name is Mike Brown. Okay. Born in Detroit, but raised in Chi-Town. Yeah. See, Mike was bright, but Mike liked to fight. From night to night, all types, Mike would strike down. No PG at 13, Mike was R-rated. By 14, behind bars, incarcerated. Released at 15, straight path, no brainer. Okay. Parole officer hooked him up with a trainer. Yeah. Trainer was a Christian. Father figure in, told him discipline. Turned him into a junior Olympian. No doubt with the hand skills, Mike was nice. But God rocked him, and Mike gave his life to Christ. The congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, "Son, stand up and testify." The very next words that you heard coming through the speaker: "I used to be a thug, but now I'm a believer."
If you repented of your sins, testify. If you trusted in Jesus, testify. If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, testify. Say what? Testify. If you're saved by grace, then testify. If you're seeking God's face, then testify. If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then testify. Say what? Testify.
Story number two. By a girl named Sue. Raised in the burbs not far from St. Louis. Sue's intelligence was prodigious. She wasn't religious. In fact, she thought Christians were all superstitious. She thought the arguments were inconsistent. Didn't find them convincing. Full-paid scholarship to Princeton. Freshman year, she had a roommate named Kristen. In God's providence, Kristen was a Christian. She gave Sue a copy of Mere Christianity. To read in it, Sue got convicted of a vanity. When she discovered the love of Christian sisters and brothers for each other, when the Lord grabbed a hold of her, the congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, "Sis, stand up and testify." Sue said, "Jesus made it even new. Wanna know my testimony? Read Ephesians 2.
If you repented of your sins, testify. If you trusted in Jesus, testify. If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, testify. Say what? Testify. If you're saved by grace, then testify. If you're seeking God's face, then testify. If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then testify. Say what? Testify.
Yeah. Story number three, we'll call her CC.
Okay.
Raised in Maryland, not far from D.C.
Uh-huh.
She got a lot to cherish. Thank God she's not embarrassed about her parents because they had a rock-solid marriage.
Right.
Father straight loved her, gave like no other.
Yeah.
Raised with her brother by a stay-at-home mother. Her life always had the true God in the mix because her parents understood Deuteronomy 6. She was raised in the fear of the Lord. Amazing grace appeared and she was saved at the mere age of 4. A true clear conviction, the oldest replaced. She's a fruit-bearing Christian who's growing in grace. The congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, "Sis, stand up and testify." CC said,
"I ain't got no horror story. God saved me in my youth. I give him all the glory."
If you repented of your sins, testify. If you trusted in Jesus, testify. If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, testify. Say what?
Testify.
If you're saved by grace, then
testify.
If you're seeking God's face, then
testify.
If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then
testify.
Say what?
Testify.
The time, 20th century. The place, China. The martyr, a young girl.
Yeah, they went ahead and just down the path of
We would gather so pastor could season as Christians. We were pleased just to hear the read in the scripture. Cause here in Asia, we can't worship like the states. Cause servants of grace might be murdered for their faith. So we give Christ the praise and secrecy. We ain't treated equally. Even on today, our Bible studies yield illegally. As pastor opened a read for the first sentence, communist soldiers in kitchen doors clean off the engine. I knew this could happen for accepting his precious gift. They threaten to kill us with guns clutched within their fist. I'm shaking and scared. Even though Jesus is my everything, I don't know if I'm prepared to die at the age of 17. The lead in the fist, he turned to my past and looked for the gun to his face and told him, hand over the book. He reluctantly handed over the text that he saw in doors. They laughed as he grabbed it, and it was smashed to the floor. I was truly grieved as I looked in his eyes. He said, any of you can leave if you spit on this book alive. A man walked up, cried as he fell to the floor. Father, forgive me, please. Now you can go. I trembled with fears. My mind started to think about death. Heart leaking with sweat. I thought my heart would beat through my chest. A woman that walked up next, spit on a Bible and left. The pistol shot in the air, continued yelling out threats. I was tempted to do it. I just wanted to leave. The moment I thought this, I felt overwhelmingly grieved. I gritted my teeth. Tears began to stream down my face. I needed some faith. I just started to think on his grace. In my head, I said, forget it. As I walked from the text, kneeled to the floor, watched him spit off the Bible with my delivering Christ to die's game ain't a popular song. I pray, Father, forgive him as I was shot in the dome.
The time, 1536. The place, outside of Brussels. The martyr, William Tyndale.
I refuse to look to John Huss's goose was cooked, Lord. I want to put your truth in books. Not concerning my faith, no turning away. I know eternity awaits, even if I'm burned at the stake. Like avoiding their attack to me would profit me. Great whores that could be properly the papacy and prophecy. They say the Pope's the holiest. Only if these people could see its phoniness. And scripturally erroneous, the Pope of men fail to respect. They want to seek death to William Tyndale. So then I inhale a deep breath. Two doors, my hands push as I stride inside. I would grab my men, hiding into ambush. I was sabotaged. He was disguised and camouflaged as a friend of me. I didn't know he was the enemy, not through discerning. I see this group is yearning with ill will to kill Bill like Uma Thurman. It's a chaotic frenzy. As they plot against me, hey, if God defends me or ends me, he'll soon determine. Now I plead for these people. They grieve your cathedral. I don't want to repay evil for evil. When I'm weak, I'm made strong. Got my brave face on. Was cheap for the slaughter, being killed all the day long. I'll never be a man pleaser. No matter how tight the grip of the hand squeezer. I can't breathe, I stand with Jesus. Even if plans are grievances, they try to put me to sleep like anesthesia. Now I'm jagging and gasping, I'm sold out for you. No doubt this news won't choke out the truth and leave a lasting legacy. Cats who would never read the word after the death of me. Cats can cleverly get past the heresy and grab for this weaponry. This war is now, Lord, I pass to the heavenly.
The time, approximately 100 AD. The place, Rome. The martyr, Anonymous.
My wrist bleeds from the shackles as I get dragged in the gravel. My ribs hurt with arrested and tackled. Snatched up, I was reaching. Pulled in the back row, beat for the God that I stand for. A young man, I'm a Roman, version of Daniel. Yo, I gotta be an example. Feed by the decree of the emperor's panel to kill Christians in all of the land. So, yo, now they got me tied up, done getting trampled. Forcing my death while they chant, yo. No gospel, Christ is a scandal. The mob screams as I'm violently handled. But I am a sample, a grace that is ample. The shame, though the pain isn't canceled. Strained as a mane by the rage of the grapple. Each swing hurting me more than the last blow. Kicked by the sandals, struck by the rhymes. Cracked from the whips in the hands of the gods. Mocked by the people, they bask in the evil. Storing up wrath in the path of my God. But I, what a relief it is to be in Jesus. Even beaten, if Christ is the reason. Pulled to the center of Rome, a crowd beating. Chant for my death and indict me with treason. I get tied to a pole by a soldier. Shaped like a ogre. Rope round my legs and rope round my shoulder. He signals his boy and he yells out, "Yo, y'all bring the torch over." So now I'm facing the blaze, facing the pain. By grace, putting faith in his name. He says, "Last call for a recant." I say, "We can." So he ignites me in flames.
The time? Approximately 62 A.D. The place, Jerusalem. The martyr, James, the brother of Jesus.
Sovereign Lord, you're so holy. You know me, I'm nothing but dust, and I trust in you only. I see the faces in the crowd below me. I'm standing on the rooftop of the temple, and they about to throw me off, cause I've been causing a major fuss. They call me James the Just, Jesus the name I trust. In the days of his flesh, he was my brother in the physical. I thought that he was crazy, enough that I would ridicule. But since his resurrection, I see he meticulously rules, and next to his perfections, I'm ridiculously minuscule. Astounding, I'm taking a pounding and bruise for him. I look around and see the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. Suddenly I get calm, reminded of God's promise in verse 2 of the 125th Psalm. I hear the obscene chatter, for me no tears or screams scatter, or fears of getting my spleen splattered. Christ is supreme, so extreme is the theme of his redeemed team. By no means is my dream shattered, embracing what is after as I'm facing this disaster. I have to, cause no slave is greater than his master. They told me to deny Jesus and not be an apostle. My response, repent and believe in the gospel. They threw me off the roof for that last phrase spoken. I hit the ground alive with both of my legs broken. They acting so wickedly, with no sympathy. My blood flowed vividly, I felt stones hitting me. Yo, inwardly, Jesus gave me peace like Stephen them. I reached up to heaven and began to intercede for them. Father, forgive them, though their sin's great and enormous. One of their own said, brothers, wait, he's praying for us. One cat had so much hate in his heart for Jesus, his blunt instrument crushed my skull into pieces.
The time, modern day. The place, the streets of New York. The martyr, a street evangelist.
Yeah, in the beginning, before it's rolled back to finish, I grew up in the world with no truth within it. No hope, no dream, no future in it. Only crackheads with some state truth within it. I grew up with a mother, brother, sister, no cops. Families locked up, we teased and crooked cops. Dope dealers and thugs on street corners and blocks. Dudes that push weight, catch pills and get knocked. That was my life before I married a Christ. So now I rap hard on the block and day and the night. 2 a.m. in the morning, it's my third weekend. So far, 17 souls walked away from their sin. It's a struggle on the block in the heart of the pit, where the fiends look like zombies as they search for a fix. 14 across the street and she licking the lips, asking Poppy for a date while she grinding the hip. I can't believe what I'm seeing, but thank God for the mission, cause he touches hearts and opens up the mind for the vision. And people saying I should make the right decision, cause the devil said he lurking, but I'm moving with precision. I can't be scared, I'm a soldier for the kingdom. I'm a dub and I gotta rep hard till I meet him. And tell the world that it's crucial they receive him, cause he's coming back, nobody knows the AM or the PM. And on the block I could see it was beast. The spirit told me they was coming, I refused to retreat. The leader stepped to my face singing he was the man. And ain't no God in earth and heaven gonna ruin his plan. I looked him in his eyes and told him this ain't had to be the end. The Lord loved the man regardless as to what he's done or did. Satan filled his heart so he ain't really care what I said. Cop back the 9 and bust 3 shots to my head.
Once again, that was the song called Martyrs, and that was by Shylin. And here's to me, Melissa Cantrella, on Truth Be Told Radio. And next we're going to have the song. This is the song called, this is the one by Go Fish, and it's about the cross on Truth Be Told Radio.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. Oh, not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the cross.
Yeah.
that was Goldfish singing that song, Saved, it's called. And next we got a clip that goes with that song. And this one is called, it says, Saved by Faith or Works. And this is from Living Waters. And thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Todd Friel is in Germany doing what he does so well, digging up the history of famous Christians. I wonder how things are going for him. Hopefully he's found an open door.
Huge! The Protestant Reformation was huge, and it all began right here in 1517 on this door when a German monk named Martin Luther nailed 95 complaints against this church, against the church. The Protestant Reformation really revolved around two words, and this was huge. The two words were impudent versus infused, and this was the mother, the real mother of all battles. The Roman Catholic Church taught that when a man becomes a Christian through baptism, a part of Jesus' righteousness is infused, or injected, if you will, into the person, and if he didn't commit any gross sins, continued to take the sacraments, grew in holiness, and died with the last rites, then he could go to heaven. In other words, he received a little of Jesus' righteousness, but had to work his way toward perfection. But then, Martin Luther, reading Romans 1:17, understood the just shall live by faith, and he grasped imputed, not infused, but imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness is when God takes our filth and our sins, and he lays them on Jesus Christ at the cross, and in exchange, we receive Jesus' righteousness. We don't become perfect, but God sees us as perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. All of our sins, past, present, and future, forgiven. No working towards perfection, we're seen as perfect. So when we stand before a holy God on Judgment Day, we'll go to heaven not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done.
Now, some people might hear that and think, great, since Jesus paid the price for our sin, we can sin all we want, right? If we don't get to heaven based on good works, why be good at all? And this is exactly what Paul addresses in Romans chapter 6 when he asks, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? His answer, certainly not. So how are we to understand the relationship between faith and works? Fortunately, God summed it up in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then in the very next verse he explains where works come in. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works. We are saved for good works, not because of good works. Good works aren't the way to salvation, they're the result of it. If you claim to be a Christian, but have no good works to show for it, or worse yet, your life is marked by sin, then you might not be a Christian at all.
Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God.
See that again, go to Living Waters. Actually, it's a YouTube page for Way of the Master, and it's called Saved by Faith or Works. And we're coming to the end of the show, Truth Be Told Radio. Thank you for listening. Remember, you can see us at truthbetoldradio.com. truthbetoldradio.com, and also on Facebook, and we have a Twitter page. Twitter, you can contact us at truth, the letter B, told radio, truth, the letter B, told radio, so Truth Be Told Radio, that's what the letter B is, instead of B. And then my personal one is Bond Servant for Jesus, for the receiving bond, B-O-N-D, servant, S-E-R-V-A-N-T, for, that's the number four, and then J-C, bond servant for J-C. So please write us there, tell us your comments. Also, we have an email, truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com, truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. You can email us there and tell us what you like about the show, or if you have suggestions, maybe, you know, a guest you'd like to have on. Please tell us. We're always looking for someone, different people to be on. And if you are having for any company or any Christian ministry, if you like to advertise with us or even on our website, please write us at truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com, truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com, or contact us on our Facebook page or through the Twitter account. And, oh yeah, if you want to check out my personal page, it's smilesandstuff.com, S-M-I-L-E-S-A-N-D-S-T-U-F-F.com, smilesandstuff.com, and that talks about me and my story, how I became Christian. And like I said, please help us out with the show if you can. The fees are $39.99 a month. I know it doesn't sound like, might not sound like a lot, but for me, it's a lot. So if you could help out, you can give through PayPal, and there's a donation button on our webpage, truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And we're going to go out as we came in with Go Fish singing the B-I-B-L-E. Bye for now.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.